Welcome to Core, everybody. This is Core Video Game Talk from three guys that love video games. And there's no ladies here, and that's probably sad that there's no ladies here. You know, one day we should bring in a fourth lady, or our first lady, and would make us four people, not our fourth lady. Anyway, we'll see. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying dumb stuff before the show starts. Hey, welcome back to Core. It is March 18th, 2021. And we're back. I'm Scott with Bo and John. John is still a dad. This happened, and you're doing good.
I'm glad.
Congratulations.
That's still
still
be
a thing.
Real dark day if that changed.
Oh yeah, that'd be real bad because you get attached to these little ones, and then you never want them to leave. And then one day they're 18 and they move out. So you know, enjoy it while you got it, is what I'm saying. Have as much fun as you can, and change all those diapers, and it'll be great. Don't worry about it. Also, Bo
is
here.
The problem for me is that. There's like a gamer aspect of me that's like, I look ahead on the, you know, what to expect websites, right? And
yeah.
I go, oh, what's coming up? And it's like, oh, he's going to start vocalizing in a week. And I catch myself doing that thing where it's like, it's almost like unlocking perks in a game. I'm like, oh, we got to get to that. We got to get to that next checkpoint. I want to get there. And then I realize I'm wishing my kid's life away. And I'm like, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not the right way to handle a child. I should enjoy the moment. And not focus on what's to come.
That's a healthy revelation that you've had, and I think that that's the right way to do it. Like, it'll all come anyway, so don't hurry any of it up. It's gonna be a heck of a ride, and I'm super jealous because I loved it. I loved it when my kids were little. Oh my gosh, it was so much freaking fun. Have I made this clear? I probably have lots of times, and I know I'm known for being way too pro dad, but man, little babies. They're the freaking best. Yeah, they shit everywhere and they barf occasionally and they, you know, they're like, oh, he's got gas. No, it's something else. We got to go to the doctor. Like, you have all these moments, right? And they suck. But the end result is so great and it's so much freaking fun. And I'm a little jealous because I don't get to do it again in the same way as I used to. Because I'm old now. Bo, it's your turn. Just kidding. You don't have to have a kid yet. There's time. There's time.
There's some steps ahead of that.
There's a few steps between now and kid. I get you. I understand how it works. We're back. We're going to do a show about games and stuff. A few things have happened. I feel like I had a year of gaming machinations over the last week that I need to get off my chest. And I'll get to all of that later because, you know, I've done this a few times on the show where for whatever reason, I get a bee in my little hat and I have to chase down the itch that I have. And sometimes it's open world. So I play like eight different open world games, trying to find the one I want to play the most. And sometimes it's 40K games. Remember that? I played like every 40K game I could get my hands on for like a week and then talked about it on the show, got it out of my system. And now I'm fine. I don't need 40K in my veins like I did that week. This is one of those weeks. And this time it's City Builders, specifically historical and or future and or apocalyptic, doesn't matter. Anything that isn't straight city building, I was into this week. And I had to find and I had to dig and I had some revelations, found out about a new thing coming that I'm so stoked about and barely stand it. Like, cannot get enough of that stuff. But I also played 1 hour of Lust from Beyond. But you're going to have to wait to talk about that. In a little bit. I took John's advice and played it. Or wait, was it John that said I should play it? No, I don't remember.
Somebody, yeah, I did.
Okay, that was you. Yeah, I have things to say. So Lust from Beyond, full review, at least of an hour of gameplay, coming up after this. Okay, so Square Enix did a showcase, and it didn't include Deus Ex, so I immediately said F off and threw the finger.
Okay, then I'm going to skip. I was going to go watch, but
You should. I don't know. You and I are both fans of that series, and I think now would have been a ripe time for them to announce something because, you know, in the wake of the sort of fail launch that was Cyberpunk, it might be cool to take advantage of that. People are hungry for that kind of game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish. It's just, yeah. It's just that it's such a low priority for them in some weird way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't meet whatever threshold they have. I think the last one sold just fine. The one before that sold well. I just don't know if it doesn't meet whatever magic number some of these companies have now for total sales, but They have thrown so much of their guts behind that Marvel game, and I don't know how that thing's going. John, have you checked in there lately? You have it. Is that a thing you've done?
I haven't. I never got the impression that it improved all that much. I know they've continued to work on it. They've released two new characters, or at least one is out, one is coming, and I, oddly enough, they're both Hawkeye, which is not a great thing to do. I understand how it happens. There are two Hawkeyes in the Marvel Universe. You got Kate Bishop and you got Clint Barton, and you definitely are going to have people who feel more strongly towards one than the other. If you're a comic reader, you probably like Kate Bishop more because she's great. Yeah. And if you're just somebody who watches the movies, you're probably like, all right, I want Clint. But it's weird that they both came out together. And my criticism of that game across the board has been a lack of originality. You're dealing with the Marvel universe, the Marvel Comics universe. Yeah. You can literally pull from so many characters, so many enemies, so many things. And they've got Taskmaster and Abomination and MODOK. And that's really all they have as far as villains in that game. And then you go, boy, you guys are just not doing great on variety. But don't worry, we got new heroes coming. Hawkeye and Hawkeye. That's like, okay, what are you guys doing? And so they did show a little more of what's coming for that game. It's Hawkeye. Yeah. And they're doing a whole thing where they go into the future and you're getting to see the Hulk. But it's not, it's the future Hulk, the Maestro, which is a big villain from the comic books. And Taskmaster is back in it.
What?
They're using Taskmaster again.
Wow.
So they're still doing the exact same thing. I think maybe the only thing that was kind of interesting of what they showed is that they did tease at the end that Black Panther is coming after the second Hawkeye. Which, you know, finally that's something different, but I mean, I kind of feel like that game is still just not hitting, and I don't know if we're even going to get to Black Panther at this point, because I don't know who's playing it.
Yeah, well, you're not for sure. Hardly anyone I know, I don't think anyone I know who had it is. I think a lot of people are waiting to see if it gets better, and then they'll get back in or whatever, so maybe it's one of those deals. I mean, the way I look at it, this is at least not as bad as the launch and aftermath of, say, something like Anthem, which
right.
shed everybody, and this still has players. I mean, there are people playing it, I guess, but I don't know, man. I want that thing to be like when it hits a year, I want to find out that it's awesome now. That's what I want to find out, because that's what these games often do. These loot games or games as a service or whatever, they tend to improve over time. They learn their lessons. They patch the hell out of it. You know, Destiny 2 is an amazing game as it is today. Wasn't so true at launch. I think Anthem could have been something had they stuck with it, and they didn't. But had they, I think they would have. So these are clearly difficult games to nail at launch and have the right treadmill or whatever at the beginning. But they do seem to catch up, and I just keep hoping that one does. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's a great concept. I mean, who doesn't want to run around as superheroes?
Maybe they had a meeting and they said, you know, I know what we need here, Bill. And he says, what's that? John and Bill said, we need two Hawkeyes. That'll push us over the edge. That's what we're looking for right now. Yeah. And the whole team went, yeah, man, that and more grinding. How about more of that?
Yeah. They're raising the level cap, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because the way Marvel's Avengers was padded out level wise is you literally unlocked your entire tree by the time you hit level cap. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a case of like, oh, this is going to award more points and that's going to let me unlock new things. You maxed out all your skill trees by the time you hit level cap. So upping that level cap, I guess, makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do. It's a strange thing. I haven't checked in a while. It doesn't look like there's enough there where I can really recommend it beyond if you can buy it cheap because you're interested in a good single player campaign Marvel story, it is worth that. But you have to judge if you're going in there in the hopes of playing a cool multiplayer game. I wouldn't do it. If you're looking to play a decent single player Marvel campaign, I think it does meet that. And it's kind of interesting in that regard.
Well, they also showed off Outriders, which is already out and is a thing people like. I guess seems like it's doing okay. Also
talking about Anthem. Yeah. That game looks like Anthem.
It looks like Anthem.
Without the ability to fly.
Yeah, basically it's one of those. A little smaller in overall scope, I would say. But I think that's actually good and serves the game well. I'm curious about it. Like, I have, like, genuine curiosity about playing that, but I haven't bit the bullet yet, so I don't know. Need a little more time. But people like Outriders. It's made by those Bullet Hell or Bullet Storm? Bullet Storm.
Yeah, Bullet people. Storm's great. That's a big pedigree.
Yeah, that's that dev.
Yeah, so. I'm curious about it, too. It just looks a little janky, but sometimes games play more fun than they look, so... I don't know. I'm watching some footage now, and I'm like,
it seems like it could be cool. So the demo is what's out right now. The game's coming out soon.
Oh, that's what it is. People are playing the demo.
And I think it could be interesting. Again, it's that promise of Destiny. You're picking your class. You've got a big, harsh world that you're fighting up against, getting gear, getting abilities, getting mods. You know, it's definitely another Destiny, another Anthem, all that. But it is a good developer pedigree. And it seems like it could be cool. I think the hard part about these games is it has to seem really cool to all your friends. Everybody has to agree to get into it, and everybody has to play it. Although one advantage with this is it's coming to Game Pass. So
like on launch day?
At least you have... At least you have a built-in audience right away if you have friends who are using...
I didn't know that. So that... Are they... it's the same team that made the second to... They made Gears 4. I don't know if they made the new one or not, 5. But I think it's that team. I don't know if that's... Maybe they're owned by Microsoft. So this Game Pass thing is why. I don't know. It's Xbox only on Game Pass. So there's no Game Pass PC. That's interesting. I'm more interested because I'll just give that a try. I didn't know that. That's great. I will definitely play that on my ass.
It looks like Gears of Loot Shooter.
Yeah, Gears of Loot Shooter. That's what
it struck me. Sure. Yeah. It's like a Gears of War Loot Shooter.
But basically. It doesn't sound too bad, does it? It sounds all right.
No, not at all. Like, it sounds all right. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I am also curious. I will continue to be curious. Let's see. What's the release date? Do they have one? Don't see it. Oh, the combat feels Mass Effect, says the chat. I've heard that elsewhere. That's interesting, John. Did you hear that?
Mass Effect. I can get behind that. I didn't hate the combat in Mass Effect.
No, you thought it was up. In fact, you thought it was even better in 3, right? Or was it 3? Or no, Andromeda.
I thought it was great in Andromeda. I thought Andromeda felt great. I thought it was the only good thing about Andromeda. So, you know, if it feels like that, shoot.
Why not? New Life is Strange game or moving forward of that world. Life is Strange True Colors. I have to admit, I didn't look at that very much.
True colors shining through.
I don't know. Life is Strange is it's a series that I played the first one. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I've been interested in everyone that's come out since and haven't played a single one of them. So I don't know why. But those games are fine. Those games have their audience. This one seems to be another one of those.
I played the first two completely. I finished those, but I didn't play the third one, which makes no sense because that kind of finishes everything, and I don't know why I didn't get around to it. But I like them. They were weird.
Hmm.
They were like X-Files meets college game. I don't know how to even describe them. They're just really great adventure games.
Like a point-and-click adventure game kind of thing?
Except, I mean, you're moving around the world. You're a third person. It's like a fully graphical experience and stuff. It's just a lot of dialogue, a lot of story, a lot of acting, and then making choices that have real ramifications, and then there's a supernatural element to it. I really liked it.
Is it like a Telltale sort of deal?
Kind of.
Sort of. A little more involved. So the idea for the first one is that you can take a picture and you can rewind time back to the moment that you took that picture.
All right.
So there's things where it's like, okay, well, if I know this is going to happen and I take a picture of it, I can go back in time before a thing happens and set something in place to where when that happens, it triggers this event. Like, there's kind of cool mechanics like that in the first one. I don't really know what the gimmicks are in the other ones. In this one, it's that the main character is empathic and can read the emotions of other people. So they know if somebody's angry, they know if they're happy, And if the emotions get too high, the main character, it takes on the emotion themselves. So, and it sounds like it's kind of a, maybe a murder mystery to some degree. Yeah. So, and they're also releasing it all at once. Typically it's a game. The Life is Strange series comes out chapters at a time. And this is going to be the first one where it comes out entirely when it releases.
Oh, interesting. Speaking of which, so just to, because I was thinking about it, we were talking, the last show we did, it was the day before, actually the day of, a lot of the Game Pass stuff popping as we were doing the show. And so there was, I don't know, 10 or 15 of those games were playable by the time we ended the show. And by Friday, they were all up there. And I decided to do something weird. I've kind of been itching a little bit for Pillars of Eternity 2 again. I've never played that thing to fruition, to completion, but I really like that game. And every time I play it, I like it more. And I have it on PC, and so there's no real reason for me to start a new save, but I thought, I want to see how this plays on the Xbox because it is on console. How does that game translate? And I wish I had better things to say about it because I really like their games. Obsidian's RPGs are kind of my jam and they all make me feel good. I love Outer Worlds, which I played a little more of as well. Anyway, I got in there and it's the exact same game. And by the way, the load times are nothing on the Xbox. Like for whatever reason, even on an SSD in here, real slow load times compared to an Xbox Series X load time. So I don't know what's happening there, but it's still top down. It's still, you know, kind of Baldur's Gate style RPG. But the controller support, it's almost like they just made the whole thing work like a mouse. Yeah. Not entirely, but there is a lot of this stuff, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just half-baked, the support for controller, and it bummed me out. Something like Original Sin 2, or Divinity 2 Original Sin, had really cool controller support. Like, total, like, overhaul of the game. A little like Diablo 3 did. Very, very well thought out. Like, yes, we're going to redesign this experience with this interface in mind, and then they... You know, they built a really cool controller scheme around it. That game, Pillars of Eternity 2 is an amazing game, but that controller stuff sucks. I'm just going to put it out there. I'll just say it. Mm-hmm. Blows.
Stick to PC.
Stick to PC on that one. I'm also continually annoyed. And if I knew somebody over there, I'd say something to their face, but I'm pissed that the Outer Worlds only runs at a locked 30 frame rate and no other benefits of the Series X because they just haven't updated it and made it Series S and X ready. And I don't know why. It's a Microsoft studio now. It's a Game Pass game. It
doesn't it have an expansion coming out soon? Are they maybe saving it for the expansion?
Oh, maybe. When is that?
Saving it. It's just change it to 60 frames.
Yeah. Well, it feels like
you're not wrong.
Yeah. You know, like open up the settings on your master cut, like patch, whatever. Like, it's not like they have to write a bunch of code. It's in the PC version. I have to imagine they have some sliders. Just here's your 60 frames. It's like a day's work.
It's super obnoxious that they haven't. I don't know why they haven't. There must be some other reason. Maybe they're doing a bigger overhaul of it because it also doesn't have cross save support, which is insane to me. Because that is a PC / console Game Pass exclusive owned by Microsoft game that should have cross-save. It's so stupid that it doesn't have cross-save. So what I was going to do is take those saves that I had been playing on the Xbox, throw them to my PC, and just do a comparison. Like, all right, well, what's it like over here at 240 hertz and 120 frames per second and all this stuff? Let's see how it looks. And they don't move the saves over. They'll save between multiple PCs, so those saves are cross saves, but the save between the Xbox and the PC are not there for no reason that I can tell. Because almost every other game that Microsoft has on there, owns on there, or otherwise bought a studio on there, they all support cross save. So I cannot figure that freaking out for my life.
I got an update for you.
All right,
the Outer Worlds update lifts frame rate caps on PS5 and Xbox Series X. This is from one day ago. Saying it might be a good time to revisit because the murder on the Eridanos DLC, apparently along with that, they have released a patch to update it.
I am really excited now. When's this due out? What's the date?
I think now.
Shut up. Am I complaining about a thing that literally they fixed like in the last day? Is that what you're telling me?
Sounds like it.
Like Tuesday?
This says it's not a full-fledged visual upgrade, but the added speed could make a difference in combat. Frame rate is going up.
That's all I care about. Like, the game already looks beautiful. It looks great on there. There's nothing wrong with the Xbox version of that game. It just is this locked frame rate, and I know it can do better. Oh my gosh, John, I'm so excited now. You just made my day. I'm playing this after the show. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to play a video game after Core tonight. Woo! All right, well, forget I brought it up. I'm excited.
See, I was right. They just had to change the setting. Exactly.
That game is great. But that's what's so funny is having all that Bethesda stuff on Game Pass, including New Vegas, which those guys made, Obsidian made. It just made me want to play more Outer Worlds, which is what I'm doing. I think that game's great. And I want to try that expansion. Although, is the expansion with Game Pass, or is that a... Do I got to buy that? I wonder.
I would think it would be part of Game Pass. I mean, Obsidian's owned by Microsoft. They want to push it. I would think you'd get it, but I don't know.
I hope so. It's also the Tomb Raider 25th anniversary, so there's that. Are they doing anything for that? Are we getting like a game?
They're releasing a cookbook?
Is that what
they're doing? Other things, but yes, they did announce that they're doing a Tomb Raider cookbook. I don't know what that means.
What?
Lara Croft, famous for her cooking.
Yeah. I have a cookbook. Hold on, I'm opening this.
See, I've got a D&D cookbook, so I assume it's going to look like this. Have you guys seen a cookbook before?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like a book, but on the inside, it's got like recipes.
Whoa, and wait,
no, is that I paper? Get it. Halfling I'm just cuisine. Saying that. Tomb Raider, not known for cuisine. D&D, sure. There's a lot of points in D&D where you could say, hey, let's get out some fine cuisine.
Hello?
Lara Croft eating what she just shot with a bow to try and survive. Maybe cooked, maybe not.
Welcome to the Sizzling Shire Grill, John.
Yep.
And Scott.
Yep.
Can I tell you what today's special is, please?
No.
No. No, I don't want to know.
It's the Heartland's Rose Apple and Blackberry Pie.
Oh, Lord.
I want to point out for people who don't diligently watch when Bo streams, he played Loop Hero, and this is the voice he used for the main character. Yeah. And as interested as I was in his take of Loop Hero, I couldn't stick with it as soon as
I was reading all the lines of dialogue with the main character. I gave this voice. Are we going to go around and do another loop, everyone?
Who's this guy? A skeleton?
So hold on.
Are you my friend?
Do all of them? Is it just the necromancer?
No, I do different voices. You know, when you first meet the vampire, you're like, hey, I want to suck your blood. Yeah. Let's be friends.
I want to suck your blood.
But the main character is, because I was doing that with Banner Saga, where I just, you know, badly VO all the lines. So in Loop Hero,
I made the main heir of this guy. What is this world I've landed in? Yeah. And why can't I see anything?
Yeah, I could see. So, John, you didn't stay very long then. You got right out. I could see that.
Well, I tried. I was like, surely he's not going to keep this up through the whole thing. He did.
Wow.
And I was trying to keep the baby asleep next to me, and the baby did not enjoy the volume increase that came with the main character's voice. So it did not stay on as a soothing background sound.
I love it.
Appreciate you not killing the vibe by being like, Bo, can you stop doing like
no one.
I assume people were enjoying it. I didn't really, you know, I don't really pay that close attention to how many people are watching, but
sure.
It didn't go to zero. So I was like, somebody likes it.
Yeah.
No,
it's a cool thing. It's a thing. Everybody's got to have a thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Lara Croft.
Big old mustache.
Yeah.
The Lara? Is it Lara or Lara?
Lara.
Lara. Vela.
Vela.
Hopkins.
Thrall.
Hopkins.
Lara. Bab Hopkins.
Yeah. Bab Hopkins, you know, the old actor that played Mario.
Anyways,
you know?
This is actually an awesome book, by the way. For our listeners, it's the Dungeons & Dragons Heroes Feast official D&D cookbook. It was a Christmas present this year.
Oh, I love that art.
I was kind of saving it because I was going to use it in D&D, although I've taken a bit of a break from that. But It's like a ready-made sort. Like, I could just flip open and offer you guys stuff from the book in like a fake tavern in D&D. It's actually kind of cool.
Well, hold on. Give me
also give me real recipes.
Give me a one of the recipes real quick. Like, what's a good one in there?
Okay, hang on. Just give me a second here.
Like something you just so jump out at you like, oh yeah, that'd be real good.
Well, do you want human cuisine, elven cuisine, dwarven cuisine, halfling cuisine, uncommon cuisine, or elixirs and ales?
Oh my gosh. John, help me here.
I want elven cuisine.
Okay, yeah, let's do some elven cuisine. And I'm going to give you a little bit of ambience here. Hold on, we'll do a little bard thing. Oh, that's a boring one. Let's do this one. Okay, whoops. Okay. Okay, the bard's going. We're at the tavern. Actually, we open the door. Oh, it's raining outside. Here, let me get in. Hold on. Okay, I see the innkeeper. Bring us beer.
Please. Wipe your feet at the door.
Yeah, and then we come in, we sit down, throw some...
Don't sit down quite yet. You must wait to be seated.
Oh, shit.
Please stand by the giant leaves near the door.
Well, here, I'll flip that table.
Sorry, we're not playing D&D. Hang on.
All right. I flipped the table and talked to the innkeeper.
We got beds, but not for him.
Okay, he's mad. Right. What else we got? Oh, coin. Here's some coins. Here you go.
Wait, you want dragon salmon?
Dragon salmon?
Would you like dragon salmon?
Well, is that good for elves?
Wild and esty vegetable stew?
Can elves eat it? Is that elf food?
How about an elven maruth?
I don't know. It seems like a lot. John, you're the elf. Would you eat that?
I'd eat dragon salmon. That sounds great. What's in dragon salmon? I assume salmon.
It's a dragons and salmon.
Dragon semen?
Where's salmon? The dragon?
Nah. Oh, look, those people at the other table are laughing at me. Look.
All right, let's go with the dragon salmon. I just got to find the actual... There you go. This is what a dragon salmon looks like. It looks suspiciously like a regular ass salmon.
Yeah. Salmon.
I want to take this book back. Mm. It looks just like a piece of salmon on some poo-looking
Yeah, but maybe stuff. It was cooked in the fires of a dragon.
I mean, if you want me to read the recipe, or I can just show it on the video here. That's what it's like.
Salmon on the house for everyone! See? They're all excited.
Oh, you brutes.
Yeah, and then I'm going to flip my table and leave. Here you go. I'm out. That's it. Thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't want your salmon. It looks like every other salmon. Like, all salmon looks the same. This is not good elven salmon. We're leaving, John. Get up. We're leaving.
You're screaming into a void. You've been banished by the elven barkeep.
No longer
in there. Oh, jeez.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. That was some fun role play that we just did, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Anyway, Tomb Raider has a cookbook. They're also putting Tomb Raider stuff in The Division, because that's what they do. She's showing up in Fortnite.
What? Division?
Yeah.
Fortnite.
Why The Division?
I don't know I don't remember if it's The Division. It's one of them Clancy games.
Oh,
okay. She's going to be in a Clancy game. She's going to be in Fortnite. They're doing a collection of the most recent trilogy where you can get all of those games collected together and more to be announced later. And then there's a statue. It's just they threw everything at the wall and was like, Lara Croft's 25 years old. Celebrate with us.
Wow. Okay. I like Lara Croft. I like her games. I like Tomb Raider as a concept, and I played them all. So I guess I support their happy 25th year, but it seems like a crappy celebration, if you're asking me.
Right. Are you going to do a sequel to her movie?
Her and four. Oh, yeah, that movie, the Vikander chick again. I liked her in the last one. The movie wasn't great, but she was good.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's a robot in Ex Machina. She's a robot lady. Yeah. You see her booby. Anyway.
She kills General Hux and arranges for the death of Poe Dameron.
That's right. That is the most Star Wars crossover Tomb Raider event of all time right there.
She kills many Star Wars characters in that movie.
Yep. They're also, I love when that happens in movies, but I just watched the movie called, Netflix movie called The Devil All the Time. Very good. Highly recommend it. It's like a gothic Southern drama. It's very good. And Spider-Man's in it, Tom Holland. Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier's in it. Sparkly Vampire. The new Batman. What's his name? horse face. Looks like a foot.
Robert Pattinson. Man, I'm not nailing names.
He says his name like some people say sherbet.
Robert.
That sherbet thing, I haven't had anyone say anything about that in a long time. That made me laugh. All right, anyway. So Batman, Spider-Man, and Winter Soldier in there. And by the end of that movie, spoiler, everybody but Spider-Man dies. So it's pretty impressive is what I'm saying. Peter Parker for the win. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like that. I like it when these people, when there's intermittent accidental crossovers, like the very serious drama with Mark Ruffalo called... I Know This Much Is True on HBO. It's fantastic, by the way. It's a miniseries. He won a Golden Globe for his performance and deserved it. He was really good. Maybe even an Emmy. I don't remember. Or maybe those aren't out yet. But anyway, the point is he's amazing in it. And his ex-wife in there is played by, I forgot her name, but she plays Agatha on freaking WandaVision. My brain today. And so there's that little crossover. Go watch the movie. The Christopher Nolan movie, the Prestige, and you get, I was gonna name that one.
That one's so good.
It's awesome. You get Batman versus Wolverine with like Alfred and Black Widow.
And David Bowie.
Yeah, that's right. He was Tesla.
Tesla.
Not the band. Do you guys remember Tesla or am I too old? I'm too old.
I don't remember Tesla.
There was an 80s.
Nikolai Tesla?
No. There was a band in the 80s called Tesla.
I've seen their t-shirts, you know, in those rock mag, like what is it, like Rock Parade or something like that. And you'd open they'd have these two-page t-shirt spreads and I'd be like, I'd see Tesla and I'd be like, I never heard their music, had no idea what they are, but I guess they're metal.
Well, let's see. You
know, next to the Motorhead shirts and the Nirvana shirts and all that stuff.
You've heard this before. I'm just going to play a tiny taste of it so I don't get in trouble. Hold on. There you go. Just a teeny.
Maybe if I sing over it like this, it won't get in trouble.
Oh, this isn't going to... Hold on, let me skip it. Here we go. Okay. I'm trying not to get in trouble here. Okay, hurry and play your music. Okay, never mind.
Hey, we're trying to avoid... DMCA business.
They were... but they're basically... they're like a heavy metal band, kind of hair band of the time, but they were way different. Yeah. They didn't like kind of just rock and roll and had cool. They had cool songs. Tesla's cool.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, no judgments here. I don't know enough information. I just remember they had rock shirts. So I knew they were a rock band.
Well, here's another piece of news you're going to love, Bo, then. If you like a good rock band, just kidding. There's no transition here. Just Cause Mobile is coming. They didn't say anything else about it, except it's real. So now you can play Just Cause on your phone, John. I know you love those games, so...
Uh-huh. They seem to have a real... Like, this... They were really doubling down on, like, hey, four-player co-op. There's a... Looks like four-player Just Cause, a four-player Hitman Sniper Assassins, a four-player Bubble Bobble, which that did get me excited because they played the Bubble Bobble theme, and that's all it takes to get me a little excited.
Yeah.
Just a little.
In general or about Bubble Bobble or I guess
just in general. I like that song. That song is good.
All right. I believe you. That's a weird thing though. That mobile thing. It's weird. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything on mobile is weird.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm down with it. Okay. I'm about to freak you out here. Here you go. Bubble Bobble theme. Enjoy. Hold on. Is this the one?
Oh yeah. Just gotta wait for it to kick off.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah, boy.
And they play it through the entire game on every stage.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I just found a...
At least they did in the NES version. I don't know.
Maybe I'm going to make your day. Here is a 10-hour compilation of that song. I just put it in the chat room.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. See, I knew people would do this because that's the thing you take away from it, because Bubble Bobble is a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. You play it for a long time and it is just that song.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Yeah. Nonstop.
It's one of those indoctrinating that era game music that just repeats and then you hear it for weeks after a long session playing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's good stuff, though. I'm a fan. All right. Well, that's basically it. Forspoken.
Forspoken.
Yeah. Tell me about this because I've forgotten all about it. It used to be called something else. Oh, Project Agatha?
Yeah, it was called working title Project Athia or something like that. We still don't know much about it. It's supposed to be coming in 2022, but from the little bit they showed, it looks really good. I mean, that's far enough away where who knows how it's going to ultimately turn out, but the gameplay, the graphics looked great. The gameplay looks slick. I like the design. It's got a lot of big, like, dragons and lions and creatures, and they've all got, like, kind of lava-y bits to them, and I have no idea what that game is. Seems very cool.
Yeah, I don't know much about it either, but I'm glad it's looking good. So watch for that. Now called Forspoken. Is that even a word?
Hmm.
Is it a word?
No.
Forspoken.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no, not a word.
Let me double check for you. Oh, it is. I'm surprised it is. Here it is. I'll play the same. This is what it sounds like for those who want to know.
Forspeak.
Oh, that's Forspeak. What about Forspoken? Okay, so it says Forspeak or Forspoken or Forspeaking or Forspeaks. To predict, to arrange for in advance. So some kind of time travel-y bit probably going on there with that game. So that's a word.
I mean, it does have a dragon, but the hero's running around in sneakers, so...
You can conjugate it as Forspoke?
Well, they spoken, keep... That's forspoken. The thing. Everywhere like, I find it, there it is here. Let's see, Wiktionary even has it. But they keep redirecting me to Forspoke, saying this is that's the usage that you would normally hear, and Forspoken is possible, but not common.
Okay, I'm seeing some conjugation here. We have Forspoken. You had Forspoken.
Right.
It's just weird because for, you know, sort of seems to imply future. Again, the meaning is what exactly again? That I don't have.
It says to prepare for in advance.
It's a faction created by Sylvanas Windrunner. she led.
For the Forspoken, she says.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Collins Dictionary says to attract and fascinate, enchant, to cast a spell over. Okay, so, this is like old English.
Ooh, this trailer.
British English.
This trailer is awesome.
Are there any folks from the lovely United Kingdom? Or sorry, I don't want to be offensive. Just whatever that area is with British accents.
This game looks
England,
crazy.
United Kingdom.
Have you seen the Wales trailer for this, Bo? Like, wow, holy shit! What,
for
right,
spoken?
It looks good.
It looks really
I'm not crazy.
Good.
I don't know what it is, but it looks really good.
Does wow. anyone use the word Forspoken?
I've never used
that. Like, I can't look at the trailer right now. I need to figure out if this is a word. It is now. It's the name of a video game.
So the trailer has Ella Balinska.
I don't know who
interviewing.
That is. Well, the trailer I'm watching is a full blown.
Oh, they're talking trailer. About the mocap, I guess, on the game.
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
All right, this is a next-gen looking game. Very excited.
And it's got like that bear from the Natalie Portman movie in it.
Yeah, whenever you can get her, phew, done deal. I'm just kidding, I don't know.
The bear? Right.
There's
that. Talking about the bear or Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman, she's pretty great. We're losing frames for some reason. Why? It's not me, it's not you, it's Twitch. Why, Twitch, what are you doing?
Oh, I see. It's all at the end. Okay, this is where the action-y stuff happens.
Yeah, it's where life meets.
Oh, this is like Anthem. She does like barrel. She flies in the air. I mean, it's cool. It looks awesome.
She does a barrel roll. Yeah.
It's like, I guess it feels like a remix on a Doctor Strange kind of a character, like a wizard, but you're firing all around. I don't know. It looks definitely very cool.
There's also...
It makes me want it to be multiplayer.
Though. Yeah, me too. It looks like...
it looks like a multiplayer fast action kind of thing. Sure. I don't know. Seems cool.
There's also a Hitman Sniper Assassins game coming to mobile. They did make a mobile game years ago. John, do you remember that thing? It was like a puzzly thing. It was like that Lara Croft mobile game and Deus Ex mobile game.
Oh, yeah.
The little puzzle thing. Those were great. Those were like really cool, fun games. But I don't know if that's what this is. So I don't want to speak out of turn. All right, real quick here. I'm going to pause and figure out why the... All right, we're back. Sorry, chat. We're back. We're here. You should see us. Sorry, weirdness on Twitch tonight. I don't know why. All right. Hitman. Oh, no, that we're done with them. Goodbye. Goodbye, Square Enix. We hardly knew you. And no word in that conference in this presentation for the next installment of the Final Fantasy VII remake, right? Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Lame.
They are doing a PS5 update to that game, improving graphics and stuff like that, and it's going to include a side chapter with Yuffie.
Mm-hmm. Remind me, who's Yuffie?
She's an annoying ninja girl that steals all your materia.
That sounds dumb.
She's one of the original cast members, of the party.
Yeah.
So she did not appear in the remake.
If I recall, she doesn't appear in the original game at the point you're up to. I think she's someone you find later out in the open world. So it's a backstory kind of deal where you're playing through the events of the game, but from a different perspective, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. But you'll get to see all your favorites again, like Barret and Tifa and Cloud.
Yeah.
As is sort of crisscross, I think you kind of tail them a little bit for a while or something like that.
Are you annoyed they're not saying more about the next installment, though, Bo? Like, would you? I mean, obviously, you'd like to hear something, but.
We waited so long for 7 Remake, I assume it's going to be a while.
Mm.
I almost feel like I'd be more annoyed knowing now, because then I feel like I'd have to pick up a PlayStation 5, and not knowing takes that pressure off of having to get it.
Good point.
Because I'm only getting a PS5 for that game. It's,
Yeah,
I don't think I can wait a year. I think the hype will be back up again that I can't wait for a PC release.
Well, with the chip shortage,
I got to find out what happens
with the worldwide chip shortage and still availability on both new consoles just being ridiculously bad right now. It won't be anytime soon that you'll be getting one anyway. It's weird. It's weird right now. This chip shortage, chip shortage has really effed up everybody, phones and, all that stuff. It's all messed up. All right.
Demand's up too. Gaming is a lot more.
Well, it's definitely a higher demand.
A lot more clients.
Yeah, they just can't meet it, given the shortages right now. I don't know how much anyone knows about that, but they're specifically. I don't know. It's not silicon in general, but certain kinds of processors, certain kinds of silicon, certain kinds of circuit board stuff, all just super shortage right now worldwide for everybody, not just game makers. Like. Phone manufacturers, Samsung's having trouble. Samsung had to push off one of their flagship phones because they can't make enough. That kind of stuff. So pretty crazy. Moving on to this is a weird bit of news today. PlayStation bought Evo, the fighting game tournament esports thing, and no one saw that coming. I didn't see that coming. And they're famous for. Having Nintendo what's it called?
Smash Brothers tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do that.
They showcase a lot of the fighting games though, but Smash is probably the most.
It's a big one.
Known. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo is also notorious for telling them they can't do Smash. So I don't know. Maybe they just do away with it. I don't know. But it is kind of crazy. It's surprising. It's surprising to see.
Yeah. It's an investment in esports. So there you go. Yeah.
I hadn't been paying close attention to it. My sense was that there's been a lot of problems with that Evo business. I think because it is a grassroots thing, there's been some rough stories coming out of there now, just about players' treatment of one another and things like that.
Yeah.
Because it is sort of this, I don't know. I think what I'm trying to say is it's going to lend a sense of, hopefully some responsibility behind it, I suppose, or some authenticity, if anything. I don't know what PlayStation would do with something like that. Like if Evo stands to benefit and become a real thing, because it is a thing for people who like fighting games. It's an exciting, part of their community is participating in these grand tournaments. So I hope they don't ruin it for them, but I hope they make it better because it sounds like it was very rough thing to do.
Yeah, and they don't have a first party fighting game at Sony. Like they don't have anything under their own banner in particular, but all the third party stuff like Super Street Fighter 5 and
MK,
all that MK, yeah, all that stuff. They play those in those tournaments on PlayStations more than other hardware, so maybe they're just we may as well brand up and be the destination for fighting games. They have the best D-pad, basically. Is what it comes
down to.
Yeah, it's all about D-pads, man. And Sony has all, I will give them credit, has consistently made the best D-pad on the market. The new Xbox One or Xbox Series S and X D-pads are fine, but there is magic on that PS4 D-pad. It's very good. Like as good as that's ever been, probably. So I don't know. Who knows what the reasons are, but good luck and Godspeed. Wind to your back, PlayStation and Evo. We never knew you'd be friends, but here you are in bed together. What else? How about, EA plays on Game Pass PC now, but you got to do a client install. So you got to have Origin, basically, or whatever that is now.
Yeah, they've released a new client called EA Desktop Beta. And basically, you can now do EA Play through Game Pass. You have an account. As long as you're paying for Game Pass, you're considered to have the EA Play subscription as well as a perk. But you still do have to launch a separate launcher for, I don't think it's all the games. I didn't have enough time to fully dive into this, but it does say in Game Pass client, they said more games available on the EA desktop.
Yeah.
And I think that might mean that there are a few that you can install and play directly off of the Game Pass one. Whether that still launches Origin in the background or not, I don't know. I know that happens in a lot of cases where it's like, hey, we're going to throw in Origin. Don't you love it?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. But it is convenient sometimes if you played a game on Origin, which maybe you did. I did in one case. And sometimes those saves carry over because it does tie to that. So there's a convenience to some of it, but you know, just know what you're getting into. You're going to have to do an additional client.
Yeah, you played that.
You're already running the Game Pass client on top of it, so it's a shame.
If you're used to playing games on Steam or anywhere else that are Ubisoft games and it launching Uplay or whatever it's called now, Ubisoft Connect, it's the same thing. It's not any different than that.
Yeah.
The problem is, or the reason it's annoying is on consoles, you don't need it. And here you do for some reason. And this explains to me why the whole thing got delayed, because clearly EA was busy trying to relaunch and rebrand their PC launcher and then have that ready enough so that the Game Pass thing could happen. Because otherwise there was no explanation for that delay. That was just weird to have that separate and not working. But yeah, if you want to play Madden 21, it's your only way to do it. Well, no, you can buy it like a regular person, I guess, and just play it. But
yeah, you can buy most of these games on Steam. In fact, Steam even lets you subscribe to EA Pass through it. Yeah. You really don't want to do the free thing mixed in with Game Pass. You got that option too.
Yeah.
Lots of ways to play EA games. It is a decent library. I see chat saying that EA's got some good games.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. So.
It's good. Yeah, I've hovered over many of their games recently, but there's enough good ones in there. You'd have plenty to do. I almost played Dead Space 2 again for no good reason.
Dead Space 2 is great.
Game scares me so bad, though. I couldn't do it.
It's so good, though.
I couldn't pull the trigger, literally, on that.
Did you ever beat that game? Did you play through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I beat 2 and love it. It was great. 2 is great. I didn't play 3, and I don't know why I didn't. I meant to. I played
3's pretty good.
A lot of 3's 1. Good. Never finished 1. 3, yeah. I think you were the one telling me you liked 3.
Yeah, that's some fun co-op section, or you can play the co-op. It sounds like it'd be bad, but they pulled it off. I thought it was good.
It's like, tricky.
You can play the game co-op.
Is chat room saying SSX tricky. Oh, like the old GameCube game. That'd be fun to play again. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot on there. That library's pretty deep. They've got a lot of stuff you'll like. It's just if you're okay with that extra launcher on PC, then you're good to go. And again, it's not any more annoying than Uplay. And if you think that's too annoying, then probably don't do this. So there you go. What else? Diamond cards and Hearthstone. Bo, tell us about why that's great.
I don't know. I found out about it like 30 minutes before the show. I haven't really had time to digest it. I've been playing a bit of Hearthstone. I wasn't really expecting this. It's just kind of mind-blowing because I think most TCGs, online or no, to my knowledge, they give you the regular cards and they give you foil or some equivalent of the foil experience that you get in paper.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're really reaching out to the whales here with these, you know, upgraded versions of golden cards, which are essentially, I assume, harder to obtain. They've only shown two. One of them, I think, you get just for free for getting the battle pass. Uh-huh. And the other one, you have to guess it, collect all the legendaries, which is, of course, a money thing, right? Yeah. To get them all, you have to spend a lot of money. And that's two. I assume they're going to be revealing more. Yeah, they put them way down, but you'll see them. You're pretty close to it scrolling online that they're very flashy. And apparently they're in 3D, but they don't look like they're in 3D. Like, I don't know. I have to digest this still, but I just kind of, my mind's blown that there's a second tier of, you know, quality JPEG border, essentially.
When you say 3D, more 3D than what? The current gold stuff? Which,
well, it's like Illustrator stuff or After Effects or whatever you want to call it, where they do like motion effects on the JPEGs.
Yeah, motion.
But this is like, apparently it's 3D-ified, so it moves. I don't know, because when they show it, it just looks like it moves around like something on a crappy ride, like, I'm Samuro, I'm in 3D, look at me, move my arm up and down. Huh. But when they say 3D, I kind of get this, I mean, it should maybe jump up off the card and do something fancier, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I still really dig what they did with the border. It looks super fancy, but...
Yeah, it looks nice. I didn't know they were doing this. That is another way to get your whales excited, for sure.
It just, I threw it in there because I was like, oh my god, I've never seen a second tier of foil, I don't think, on in a card battler. It's kind of audacious, you know, even in look. like it's diamond bordered, and it literally looks diamondy, like all around. Like it screams out bling, and it's just a really rich premise. You know what I mean? Like, it's already hard enough to get golden cards. It's like, I think, I don't know. It just costs like two to four times the amount, depending on rarity, of the dust cost. So there's an artificial scarcity created from these golden cards, and it's like even more pronounced. I can't even imagine what's required to get all of these, and I don't know if it's going to be the whole set or just the legendaries. I just thought it was audacious.
But so you gotta up your paying for JPEGs game here with these diamond cards, man. You gotta really go for it.
Yeah, it's really wild. Anyway.
Huh. All right, cool.
That's a first for me. Second tier of prestige, or I don't want to say prestige, but pretty card, I guess, or whatever.
Well, now that I've seen it, it makes me wonder why they didn't do it earlier. Feels like a thing that you maybe they've had this on a board forever and they decided to pull the trigger, but I don't know. Seems like a thing.
I think it's less about coming up with the because it doesn't have. There's no secondary market, right? It's. They have to come up with a way for you to feel like it's really rare and tough to get. I think it was building infrastructure to get to that. Because I think the game has achievements and crap like that now that tracks a lot of different things. So I think this is now possible because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're right.
There's an animator on Reddit saying that the way that these are 3D isn't that they're polygonal. It's that the character rigs are separate. So instead of it being just a manipulated static image, the characters have like, imagine like,
they're like little marionettes.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. So the arms is on a separate, you know, thing and the other, and they got these cool transparencies happening where like his flag or his banner is flying out behind him, which is actually onto the board, and there's transparency there. That's all very cool. I like that kind of stuff. But it seems like
they look gorgeous, but yeah, it's, and they also, it looks also, yeah, because they're 3D, they pop out of the frame. Mm-hmm. Like they're able to have like the guy with the two axes, the axes are actually, you know, they have that effect where it looks like they're popping out of the circle rather than trapped inside.
Sure.
So yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Hearthstone, still a threat, everybody. Still a threat. All right. Each week we are starting this week with presenting a dear, usually Martha, but this time a Dear Beatrice version of a Steam review. So this is a recent change to the format, just because, even though we haven't done one yet.
Yep. Change the format on the first go. That's what
right.
I say.
So what happened here is John found a Steam review to read, and we're going to do it in a certain tone. And so I'm going to set that up right now. So here we go. I'm going to play this. Where did it go? I know I put it in here. Okay, here we go.
I now present to you a review of Fantasy 5D, An Erotic Quest. My dearest Beatrice, this is game / visual novel is really not worth the time or the money, even on sale. The grammar, to start with, is horrible. If the developer's first language is not English, then hire an editor like myself. I expect grammar and spelling to be perfect in a visual novel. Besides the grammar, the story itself, if terrible, and the graphics are not much better. If you're looking for something in this genre, I would suggest Love of Magic instead. Yours in this life and the next, Ian S.
That's horrendous. That's the point, though. We're going to keep doing these. They're amazing.
His grammar was pretty bad, right?
It was really bad.
And he's like, hire me. I'm an editor.
Yeah. That's so bad.
Okay.
All right. Well, now we have it set up. So if John decides to go that way, we have it. He wants to go this way. We have it. We got all we need. We have all the tools in our tool chest here. And if Bo goes weird, we have that. We're all good. If we have a Mandalorian reference, I got that. I got whatever we need. Okay. All right.
Oh, I didn't know Mandalorian was on the table.
If we need to talk about boners.
We really pulled a boner on this one.
We got John talking about boners. We got whatever you need. Jill.
Barry.
Jill sandwiches.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Look at all this.
Jill sandwich.
Ottawa.
Shut myself up in the middle of your name, Jill.
That's right. So enjoy. All right, let's move on to what are we doing now? Oh yeah, this. Look at this, guys. Video games we played this week. So John last week laid down the gauntlet and said, "Look, you got the free code to Lust from Beyond. You should play it." And I said, "I don't know." And you guys looked up a bunch of stuff and said, "Oh, this looks like it's pretty porny and may not be kind of your jam." Here's what I decided to do. They did. The developer sent me a code. It was a generous, nice thing for them to do. I said, "You know what? I'm going to just get in and see what's up. All right. I'm just going to check this out. I can tell you right now and well ahead of time."
Oh, you did it.
Yeah. Polygonal boobies and penises and vaginas do nothing for me ahead of time. So just know that as I go into this, none of that is interesting to me. Okay. A bunch of gyrating, fake, freaking polygon people with poorly translated dialogue. Zero on the meter of 0 to 100. Nothing. So I went, well, all right, I'll just give this a shot. Let's see what's going on. I get in there, and that game's not exactly what it presents itself to be. So it's like a horror survival adventure game. By adventure, I mean mechanics of like, oh, I found a key. I'm going to keep that in my inventory until I need it again. Or I found this tool. Don't know what it's for, but maybe later there's a puzzle to deal with or whatever. So I'll keep this stuff in my pockets. It's that kind of game. It's first person, 3D world, and shockingly to me, the environmental graphics are really good, like shockingly good. You start inside of what looks like a H.R. Geiger nightmare, just like alien walls and drippy, sticky walls and just like this disgusting cave of alien who knows where from demon business. And I got to find my way around there. And there's a few like little puzzles on the way out, but it's not any big deal. There's no sex in there yet. There's nothing. It's just me walking around and it's all spooky and like legit spooky, like kind of freaking me out spooky. It's scary. And anyway, I get down to I get back to this teleporter thing, and it takes me back to this mansion. And this is where I thought things were going to get weird. In the mansion, there's me. This is really old house. And all throughout the house are these different people that I got to go talk to. And when I do, I have to tell them, hey, we're having the ceremony. We're doing the ceremony in the main hall. Y'all need to meet us down there. And there's a series of things I have to do to make that happen. Like this one lady's all upset. I have to make her happy with a couple of dialogue choices. And then she'll go. And then I talk to the two-headed guy. And he's playing chess with himself. And you just have to talk him into going. And then he goes. And then eventually you get like 5 or 6 people in this house to go there. It is bad dialogue. Nobody's good. They're all bad actors. It's very bad. But there's still, again, I'm in this thing for the first 25 minutes and there's just nothing. There is nothing sexy or sexual happening. Hmm. We get into this room and there's like this dude who looks like he's going to run the ceremony. He's got a shroud over his head. And you brought in some ingredient that you found in those caves. And And now he's going to mix it in with this blood, and then you're going to have to drink it. And so I do that, and I drink it, and the room gets all woozy, and the music's weird. And I turn around, and all the people that were in the room watching me are now writhing around on the floor naked, but not doing anything all that unseemly. It's just kind of lame and not that porny once again. And so I'm like, when does Lust from Beyond actually get a little Lust from Beyond? Like, it feels like this is a really long buildup. That all happens. Then I switch over to being inside some guy's point of view who owns not a pawn shop, antique shop. And I'm having to fulfill orders while I'm there and shut the place down after it closes and meet my girlfriend for a date. And I bring a guitar and some wine to the date. And it's all very dumb. What happens then is her and I, we are to get it on, the characters. But again, it's nothing. It's like way more porny things happen in the first 10 minutes of The Witcher 3 than happen in the entire hour and 15 minutes I played of this so far. So nothing really big. Like, it was just sort of like, oh, okay, I'm sort of doing it with her, but we're not really showing anything. And it's kind of just like witchery with less boobs. Like, it was actually less porny than The Witcher when he meets Yennefer again by that horse or whatever. And so that scene happens and it's nothing. And then I'm laying on the bed, first person view looking at the ceiling, and it even gets all woozy. And now suddenly I'm in the weird cave with all the alien business, and I got to find my way out of there. And at some point I trigger enough stuff that this creature comes running out of nowhere, like a demon creature lady that I guess she's all shrivelly and gross, like Diablo style, but she has boobs. So I guess there's some more boobs, but there's nothing lustful or, you know, porny about them. They're just saggy, freaking Diablo 2 looking demon lady boobs. And now I have to
go on.
Now she's just, she's chasing me. Anytime I get near her, she's running after me. And I've solved all the puzzles. So right now I don't actually know what to do to finish that, but it scares me so bad because I don't like games where I get chased. John's seen me doing this enough with Resident Evil. Like, I can't.
I've seen you enough too. I watched a little horrors.
So this game made me at about an hour 15 and I kept dying to this lady. I finally gave up because I don't know what to do and I'm not going to go look up a guide. I just went, so I got out. So I got out and I haven't been back. But the point is, like I say, the first 10 minutes of Witcher is way more porny than this supposed porn game. Now, I'm sure there's stuff later, but I think they made like a straight up. It feels like it's like Hellraiser. You guys remember Hellraiser?
So is it a case where they put a trailer together that we're going to make some people think it's more than what it is?
That, or
I'd almost feel ripped if I paid money for the game, the trailer I saw for that game, and then it turned out how you described, I don't think I'd be happy with my purchase.
Well, even at the beginning,
like, if I'm buying the game with that ad, I'm like, well, this is clearly a shit game with lots of boobs in it, so and weird bondagey things. So let's go.
They definitely do, you know, market what I mean? It. They market it to seem like it's more, I think, than it is, and I think that's just to push sales. I think at the end of the day, and again, I've only seen an hour and 10 minutes of this thing, or whatever, 15, but from what I can tell, I think they just made a rated R game, like a game.
Right.
It may like be a little more. Game. What?
They just made a Resident Evil that happens to have boobs in it.
Yeah. It's like a more traditional, like I say, Hellraiser style. There's maybe two sex scenes and the rest of it's just weird and uncomfortable. Mm. Now, maybe that's not true. And maybe later on things get real weird. But as it stands right now, at first hour and 15 minutes, if you're really aiming for the thirsty parties of men crazy for the next naked video game, then this game would have lost them in the first 20 minutes. Like, you've just been like, all right, where'd they, I'm not playing this. So I don't think that's what their intent is. And it was scary and legitimately so. So I think maybe what I played was a part of just a legitimate kind of scary survival-y horror thing. And I don't think I'm going to play anymore, not because of any of the content, except that it scared me. Because I'm scared of video games.
Yeah, well, they should emphasize that a little more, maybe, in its marketing material. Because I think it looks like a porny game. Like, it's a porn excuse for a game, not a game with some. Like we talked about in the pre-show with movies, you know, we don't like nudity for nudity's sake.
Right.
You know, right. On our HBO shit. But, like, if it is
you know, if we're watching Boogie Nights, then we're like, yeah, we signed up for this.
Right.
So I kind of feel like with this game, I'm like, oh, I'm signing up for debauchery.
Yeah, it's all about them.
Sounds like you played a real video game.
Yeah, it's more like they missold it. And at the same time, that's maybe a bit of a shame, because when it's used, apparently later, but even in the little bit I saw, it's used for uncomfort. It's not meant to be, ooh. Unless you're a total freaking weirdo, because it's all very dark. And like I say, it's like evocative of something like Hellraiser, where, you know, there's giant hell caves that look like vaginas, but you're not like, it's not hot. It's like, ugh. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. And it's supposed to be discordant and unsettling. And I think that can be done in a way that isn't lascivious, or isn't lascivious, not the right word, but it's not meant to just titillate. It's supposed to be disconcerting. And so far, this game has all kinds of elements. When you start it up, it actually asks you at the very beginning, do you want to play this? There's two options. You want to play this with nudity on or nudity blurred. So you can choose right at the top of the game. And then it describes it. It says, just so you know, even if you like nudity, you may want to still take this to blurred, because the way we use it is not meant to be, their words were like sexy or whatever. They said it's meant to be off-putting and shocking and whatever. Now, again, right. I didn't
it's
get
atmospheric.
Yes.
It's the same reason that H.R. Giger did the art the way he did.
Right.
Like very phallic designs, because it's going to be the kind of thing that's going to put people off and make them uncomfortable. And so it sounds like it's just leaning into that aesthetic, leaning into that discomfort that people generally have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good to know, because I think in my head you see it. And because Steam has so many games where it is, you know, Honey Pop 2, you know, or whatever, like you look at it and you go, ah, it's just another one of those porn games that they're putting out. But it sounds like this is a legitimate, like, horror adventure game that happens to be kind of the thing it leans on. You know, Resident Evil's got zombies. Silent Hill does a little bit of this. You know, a lot of people remember Pyramid Head. Mm-hmm. A lot of people remember Pyramid Head because what he's doing with a pair of legs when you find him for the first time.
Yep.
You know, it's something that unsettles people and makes them uncomfortable, and that adds to the horror.
Yeah. So it's a weird mixed bag, because their marketing and even their like communication in the game, or sorry, in Steam, like Steam updates and stuff, they're always just going, learn about the lustfulness of our design and like this kind of talk. And I think they're doing themselves a disservice. And I understand that Steam is a noisy place, and having people notice your game can be hard. Among Us took 2 years for anyone to even know that game existed. And now it's huge. Like, I get it, right? It's like anything these days, just there's such a glut of content, you don't know where to start. But I think maybe they're doing themselves a disservice, because the other thing I'll say is the environmental art, like the structure of the halls and the rooms and the spaces, even the normal spaces that aren't hellscapes or whatever. It's all very nice. It looks great. Like, if anything, it looks a little too H.R. Giger. Like, maybe they just full on lifted his aesthetic in some ways. I just put in the chat, our chat, an H.R. Giger image, or Giger, I guess is how we've all been saying it wrong. It's Giger. My whole life, I mean, I've been saying it wrong.
Yep. My whole life too.
But that right there is an example of it. Like that, yep. I'm not putting this on the chat, but that's just gnarly. Like that's an image that's supposed to make you go, oh
yeah.
But also you're in awe of its artistry. Like, in a way it's two things at once. And I don't know. That's how this game is. It's that so far, and it's not really that much of it. Like I say, I think the Witcher 3, which won't get you banned from Twitch, is way worse than what I saw. So take it for what it's worth. That's my hour and 15 minute, probably never playing it again, review of Lust from Beyond. That's all you're going to get. Did we lose Bo? Where'd Bo go? Is he all right?
He went to the bathroom.
He went to pee. All right. Well, best of luck to him in the pee. More Loop Hero. Played a ton of that. My problem with Loop Hero is that I'm so nervous to lose my materials that I will often be probably perfectly ready for a boss fight and still opt to go home because I want to keep building out all my options and getting unlocks until I've got that whole tree. And then beyond that, there's other stuff you can spend it on, like upgrading certain parts of your camp and all that other thing. And so I don't know if that's how you're supposed to play the game, but it's the way I've been playing it a lot of grinding for stuff. I'm still enjoying that process, so it's not a big deal. But then once in a while, I'll break down and go, you know, I just bought a farm, a hut, and one of the upgrades. I think I can splurge and fight a boss. And then I'll fight a boss and win, and handily sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes not. Sometimes I get annihilated, but it's just a great freaking game. And I loved Loop Hero so much. I just love it.
I got up to chapter 4 now.
Oh, I'm not.
And
I'm 3.
Chapter 4 is tough.
Yeah.
They throw you for a loop.
Yeah.
See what I did there? They basically, it looks like you're going to, in chapter 4, spoilers if you don't want to be surprised on the mechanic of it, you basically are going to fight all of the bosses again, including an additional one at the end.
Yeah.
But you fight them a lot earlier, because as you're putting tiles down, it gets you closer to the summons of the boss. So in chapter 4, you will fight the Lich again. But you're going to fight him way earlier than you would have fought the Lich, or at least you have far fewer tiles to work with to get to fighting him than you would have previously. Mm. So that seems to be where some of the challenge for that comes from. And I got my butt kicked on my first attempt to do chapter 4. So it's going to be interesting. It's a real ramp up in difficulty. And now I'm kind of doing what you were doing, which is trying to do runs where I save up my resources so I can kind of get that more powerful to go in and be ready to go.
Yeah, I'm spending most, I have 3 unlocked, but I spend most of my time in 2 farming because, and not because that's, I don't know if it's smart or not, but I just get a lot of stuff that way. And, I avoid the fight at the end, not all the time, but most of the time, so I can go build that stuff up. So that game's insidious. I really like it, though. I love it. And Bo, you've been streaming it, right? A little bit of Loop Hero in your streams?
Yeah, a little while ago, I did a pretty long stream of it. It's fun. I haven't touched it, actually, since last show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been meaning to get back to it, but I've been pretty light on games this week, so.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, what you played, we have an email about what you played, so we'll get to that. All right, then I would did this thing. I'll try to be brief about this since I went on so long about Lust from Beyond.
Sounded lovely.
Yeah. I went on an ancient city builder binge because I'm in the mood and I need it in my veins, and I love those games. So back in the 90s, Impressions Games made a bunch of games that were incredible. The Caesar games, particularly 3. Also Pharaoh and the Cleopatra expansion were incredible. And their final game they made, which was called Rise of the Middle Kingdom, which was set in ancient China. All of those games. Oh, Zeus. I forgot about the Zeus series. Those are also good. They're all so good. Oh my gosh. They're good. They're just amazing. They're my favorite city builders of all time. Some of my favorite games of all time. And, you can do all sorts of stuff now. Like if you buy it on Steam, you buy Pharaoh on Steam, you can get 4K mods for it and, you know, whatever. You can do stuff visually with it so it's not 4x3 in low resolution anymore. But what I'm looking for is I want that aesthetic, those gameplay elements, the way that those games play, but I want a new version of that. And so I just went on this rant of like, where am I going to find this? How am I going to get it? Builders of Egypt, still getting updated and I'm playing that. That's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. This brand new game called Nebuchadnezzar, which is set in ancient Mesopotamia and the right around the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, is one of these games that just came out. A 2-man team. It's on Steam, and that one is really promising. They've got a big update coming that's adding a whole bunch of features, including a sandbox mode, which I think these games just have to have, or else what are you doing? So at some point here soon, we'll get a sandbox mode out of that game. But that game is rad. But still a little bit of stuff happening under the hood. It's not early access, but it's, you know, it's 2 guys and they're doing the best they can, but it's impressive for what it is. Yes, I have played all the Populous games. Jeff in the chat asks, and also this week I played 4 different Anno games, you know, those Anno
games.
Here are the ones I played. I played the two futuristic ones, 2070 or whatever it's called, and 2005 or whatever they are. I forget the numbers. 2015's game, and then the one from the previous release, which I think was 2013. I played those two games a whole bunch. I played 1800 again, which I already had. That's the newest one. That game's really fantastic, and I probably should just stick to that. But I got curious. So I was playing around with the future ones. Then somebody said, oh, did you hear on Steam? The history version of 1404 just got re-released, and it's all like high def, and it's the same game, but it's the best they ever did, so you should buy that. So I went and picked that up for cheap, and it was on sale for like $7. And that's really good. And then what else did I play? Oh, so all this playing back and forth, I got all these ideas of what I want to do, and I'm having a great time. That End Zone game just came out on Steam, which I already have, but it was in early access. It's fully out now. It's one post-apocalyptic one where you build city and save yourself or whatever. I've talked about it here before. That just came out like today or yesterday. So I got to give that another look. That's now installed and ready to go. I installed Zoo Tycoon again. And I installed that Jurassic Park management thing that John and I played.
Oh my God, you really went on a bender.
I went on a hardcore bender, and I enjoyed every second of all of it that I played. And then the biggest, best news of the planet came through, and I can't wait for this. I'm so excited. So all this searching around, any day now, I don't know about any day, but soon now, they're about to release a Pharaoh Cleopatra complete and utter remake from a new developer that has the rights to do it. And they're making that game again with all new everything. New assets, new approach.
That's exciting.
Dude, I barely stand sitting here and not like sweating about it. I'm so excited. Because well, I love that
crazy
game.
The thing to me is you always talked about these games, and for whatever reason it went over my head, and it's just an era of games that I completely forgot I was way into. And for whatever reason, one of the times you talked about it and you said Pharaoh and Cleopatra, I went, something familiar about that. And I looked it up. I sunk hundreds of hours into that game. That one specifically, which is weird because it's the desert one, and we all know how I feel about deserty things, I also lived in a different city at the time. Sure. But I spent a ton of time playing that game in sandbox mode. Like you said, I love those games. So That's big news for me too.
Isn't that exciting? And not only that, like they've got video up, like a trailer for it and everything. It looks gorgeous, but they're also not trying to overdo that. They're not going, hey, what if we made it a fully rotatable 3D, get down in their faces kind of experience? They're like, no, we're going to make really nice high resolution 2D city graphics like they used to be. And we're going to make this mechanically very familiar, but we're going to update all the interface stuff to feel like a modern game. And they show examples of like what an old house hut looked like versus the new one. And they're still sticking to that, you know, that aesthetic, but doing it at massive resolution and just, you know, it looks crazy good. And then there's these really amazing looking, almost anime, not anime, but they're animated interstitial scenes and things like, you know, cut scenes, I should say. And the old thing didn't have that. It just had static images and stuff. So anyway, I cannot freaking wait. I hope it's sooner than later. Like right now would be good. Like right now, right this second.
They'll have just announced that they were starting though, right?
I think it's coming soon. No, like they're close. They've been working on it in silence. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's called
Pharaoh. What I loved about these games was that, because I was into SimCity and I was into SimCity 2000. A lot of people were around that time. Mm-hmm. But those games always felt like it was more about building infrastructure and the mechanics behind it and all of that. There's something about these games where there was almost like an artistic aspect of it where it was like, no, we don't want to just auto-generate buildings for you. We want you to place them. We want the city to look the way you want it to look. Like when I built a city in these games, it felt like I was like doing art to some degree because I was designing every aspect of it. It wasn't just a case of like zone for buildings and then buildings appear. And that's what I really liked about those games.
Yeah, I agree. They gave you there was a level of sort of not just freedom, but like an encouragement to really think about your layouts and Egyptian stuff like that in general, just lends itself to really cool monuments and, you know, having them equidistant from each other and all that sort of thing. I mean, all these games were good at that, but there was something about the Egyptian stuff that really sang. And oh man, I mean, it just, it's such a classic for me. I love that stuff so freaking much, and could not be more excited. So it is coming out this year, although they don't say when. The blog post I'm reading, there's just hints that it's sooner than later, like real soon. And let's see, if they've got a Steam page, you can go favorite it or wish list it.
This is the A New Era.
Yeah, A New Era. So Pharaoh, A New Era. And to me, this is like, you know, what they did with Final Fantasy VII. This is them making this game again. Like, it's a remake of the game, not a new skin, not a HDification, not just them giving it 4K or whatever. This is them saying, we're doing it all over. And structurally, we're going to make some changes. But for the most part, this is the game that you're going to want. Because if you love that, you're going to love this. And it looks like I'm going to freaking love it. Oh, my God.
This is the same. I don't know if this is publishers or developers, but they're doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which just got a trailer the other week. I almost put it in our news, which is an old school style Ninja Turtles 4-player co-op game, in the style of like the old arcade machines, but it's a brand new game. And also did Streets of Rage 4.
Oh, right. These guys. So that's the, is that the publisher? It is
Dotemu. And Windjammers 2.
Yeah, I think this is the publisher, but no, that's cool. You know what's good is Streets of Rage 4 was freaking rad. That makes me happy to hear that, that they're doing the Turtles game. Yeah, Dotemu or whatever. That's them. Maybe they're developers too, but they're also, so the one, the developers making the actual game is Triskel Interactive, I think is how you say their name. And they've got this game called Lethys Path of Progress that they're famous for, that was kind of a, hey, we're going to make one of those old Impressions games back in 2015, but it'll be steampunk and we got our own ideas or whatever. And it's pretty good. I don't know why it's got mixed reviews. I liked it. So I don't know what the problem is, but basically it was one of those. They were making an Impressions game. Aesthetically, it's not really my favorite. Again, I like, you know, I like the more historical stuff. So I think they got the chops for it, but it says coming soon. So I don't know what that means, but freaking hurry the hell up, dude. Right now, I want to play that game. I'd play that game tonight and I'd play it till 3. That's what I would do. I've got a COVID shot tomorrow and I'd play it right up till I had to leave. How about that? Oh, those games. I get under my skin. And people are hearing me say this and going, well, why aren't you playing, you know, what's the Sim City thing that's supposed to be better than all of them? Cities XL.
Oh, or City Skylines.
Skylines. That's
Cities,
it.
Cities. Yeah.
It just looks so boring. It's so hard to pull the trigger.
I have that game, but I don't want to play a modern. I don't want to make buildings that look like we live in Chicago. I want to make mud huts and freaking clay pits and, you know, water my rice because I made some freaking, I cut the ground by the river and the Nile freaking leaked into the land and gave me rice or whatever the hell I'm growing. I want to make hemp, you know?
I want to make hemp.
Yeah. I want to make hemp and make rope, sell rope to the people at the market. That's what I want. So yeah, I freaking love that crap and I'm all into it. So that's what's happening. Oh, and this got me to, this is the other thing. This got me to install, the trading company on Mars. Is it Mars Trading Company?
I know you're talking about Mars. Like, there's a planet, not planet based
company. It's, it is. Well, yeah.
Have you played Surviving Mars at all?
Yeah, that game's also great and currently free. Oh no, I'm sorry. Last week it was free on Epic. It's now no longer free, but I already had it on Steam. That game's great. Oh, Surviving Mars is great.
It's another good one, but
yeah,
here that's it is. A little more
off world trading company. That's the one. Made by those dudes that used to work on Civ. Anyway, I installed that again because it put me off at first because it's so it's so focused on the economics of what you're doing and not, you know, I don't know. Just it's all about trading and money and like mine the stuff and then sell a ton of it sort of thing and then compete with your competitors and that sort of stuff. And I think I'm going to play that because it's on sale right now. But I think I'm going to play that because like, holy shit, I'm just in the mood. What's wrong with me? I do this. I don't know why I do this. And then in 2 weeks, I'll be sick of it, and I don't want to do any of it anymore.
What was your big takeaway? What was the top of the cream of the crop.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because what's the point of all this if I didn't come away with one that was awesome, right? That's a good point. Minus the sandbox mode that they're adding to Nebuchadnezzar, I think that may have been my pick, because that is a faithful-ass version of one of those games. And it's brand new. So if that update was already in, I might be saying that to you, John. But instead, I will say Anno 1800 is probably the most fleshed out thing I've played. It's very good. It's a little different. It's not quite the Impressions games model. So the gameplay is a little bit different, but not that different. It's a little more resource intensive. There's, you know, if you play the campaign, there's a lot of story shit to go through. But the guy who play, you know, that guy we like in Rat Game, that's, I'll get you Sigma
Salt Spire.
Yeah. Him. He's a voice in it. He's the evil Baron who's trying to screw you. That sound about right.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. It fits.
So
let me quaff this potion.
I mean, honestly, this is how weird I am. I used to play Age of Empires 1 and Age of Empires 2, not as RTSs, but as city builders, because I missed those Impressions games so much.
I used to do this too. I'd build a wall, and then I would put towers, and then I'd do a wall behind the set of towers. There's more than anybody could ever get through in those games, so I was just free to build the city, and it'd be like, oh, you're under attack. Who cares? They're never going to get through. There are too many towers. There are too many walls. They will never be able to breach this city.
Yeah, I did the same thing. That's hilarious. We did it for the same reason. Like, I really enjoyed the city building part of it, and I love how it looked and how orderly it was and how, you know, I could just make rad-looking cities with a castle in the middle and all these houses lined up and just love that stuff. Well, that's what these games are, but they're focused on that. Some of them have some elements of, you know, combat, but you can turn all that shit off. Unless it's good, I guess. But anyway, I'm gonna keep at those until I'm fully satiated. And what would really do it for me is this damn Pharaoh thing to come out like now. So hurry up. That's what I'm saying. All right, enough about all the bullshit I played. Hey, John, you're playing Nier Automata again. I assume this is the Game Pass one, right? I saw it on there. Is that a thing?
It is. So I guess Nier Automata, I didn't know this, had a notoriously bad PC port. And I didn't know that it was well known for not being a great port of the game. It has now come out on Game Pass, the Become as Gods edition, which is supposed to fix a lot of the issues that existed with the initial release. However, because I'm extremely lazy and also didn't want to wake up the baby sleeping next to me, I didn't have a controller plugged into my PC, so I downloaded and installed it from my computer to try it there and didn't want to wake up the baby, so I'm actually playing it on my Xbox Series X. And that game is really good. I mean, we've talked about it before. I really liked it before. Yeah. I really like it now. As I move, you know, through stuff I've already technically played, but that story has some really cool stuff in it. There's a lot I really like mechanically about it. Just even weird things. It's the closest any other game I think I've ever played has come to having that Kojima weirdness built into the game. Because there's literally a point in that game right after you finish the first mission where they say, okay, you know, 2B, we're bringing your systems back up online. Oh, it looks like your audio systems are muted. And they take you into the PC, or the audio menu for the game. Mm-hmm. And voice volume is currently set to zero. Mm. And they go, okay, you're going to turn that up. Turn that up till you hear me. And then you just start turning it up. And then the guy's going, can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? And it's like, what is this point? They send you to an options menu to turn on your ability to self-destruct. And it's that like same weirdness that you got in Metal Gear Solid games that is just really kind of cool in this world. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like about that game that's still really a glaring issue with for me that I'm having a hard time getting over, and it's actually prevalent in a lot of Japanese games, is there's just so many menus. I start to feel overwhelmed and I get lost in them because you just go down this rabbit hole of like, okay, let me look at my inventory. It's like, okay, do you want to pick your favorite weapon sets, or do you want to pick individual weapon sets? Do you want to equip them? Do you want to customize them? Do you want to bind them to this? I'm just like, I'm like eight menus in when all I just needed is, what do I have equipped? Do I have anything better?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I can get past that, and if I can get past the installing mods for your character screen, which is extremely daunting, I can go, and that game seems just incredibly creative and cool.
It is good. I played a lot of that last year on PC. I didn't finish, but you're making me want to go back to it. I thought it was pretty cool, and I don't even like all those like anime tropes, but they kind of work for me in that game for some reason. There's something stark and weird about that world, and you know me and apocalyptic stuff, so it kind of fed into what I like about that.
Almost a hint of like the game hates the anime tropes along with you, and somehow that makes it okay.
Yeah.
Because like it has this very idealized like, oh, these are the androids we created to defend humanity, and there's just this neat little nuance very early on in the game where everybody's, you know these characters are robots and they're fighting other robots, but these are fighting on the benefit of humanity. And they've just died and been resurrected because they got in an impossible situation, and everybody's saluting and like for the good of humanity and doing the salute. And you just see your character like clenching their fist, trembling while they do it. Mm. And it's like, oh man, like this is a cool world. Like they kind of hate what they are. And it just, of course we made them look like stupid, weird anime girls to defend our planet. Like, it's just an interesting thing. I love the way that storytelling goes, and it's actually made me want to get back into Final Fantasy 14 because I know that the director for Nier is the director for the newest expansion, or what was at the time the newest expansion.
Yeah. Don't they have, really they have a whole dungeon with that theme in there, right? Like a whole Nier Automata.
Yeah, I guess 2B is in it.
Yeah.
You actually run into her. So
so weird. So weird.
I love that they do that though. Like, what a weird thing. They're like, yeah, we do an MMO. We're going to do an expansion. We're going to base it around something that's not even Final Fantasy. Bring in a director. And I don't know if you heard this, Scott. They said they would want to do that for World of Warcraft.
Really?
Yes. They said we would love to do a Warcraft crossover. And I was like,
oh man, Blizzard would never do it, but I would love it if they did.
They'd never do it, but I'd be so for it. It'd be so interesting to see.
Yeah. This would be like, if Blizzard was doing this, it'd be like you running into Nova or something, like actual Nova on a raid, and having her go, oh yes, from my dimension, we kill Zerg, and here you are fighting the Lich King or whatever. Like you'd have, that's having the Nier people in this raid is a lot like that. It's very odd. Very weird. Anyway, well, that's cool. I like that game. I should get back to it. I didn't like all the invisible walls. If I had a complaint, it'd be that. Lots of places it looks like you should be able to go there, and you can't. And I hate that in games. I hate it. Like, if you're going to have that, at least have the world reflect that that's an impossible place for me to go. Instead, you give me places that I could easily jump over if it was really there. And instead, it says, oh, invisible wall. You can't do that. I hate that. It drives me crazy. All right. We talked about Loop Hero. Bo, Heroes of the Storm. I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's a game.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I played that this week.
Yeah.
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Get in there, play some games, have a good time.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you're having a good time.
Not much to say about it, but that's what I played this past week. So,
well,
it was nice.
On that note, let's play this.
That's a good question.
We got a question about Heroes of the Storm, and then this will be fun to answer. It says, hey guys, this person's name is Pernilius G.
Oh.
Yeah. The rapper, I guess, or I don't know. He says, hey guys, you should have a little mini heroes tournament on Twitch sometime for old time's sake, says Pernilius G. Or as he wrote, here, I'll read it just the way he wrote it. You should have a little mini heroes tournament on Twitch sometime for old time's sake.
For old time's sake?
I think he meant old time's sake. He wrote old time's sake. Oh, no, all time's sake.
Anyway. Old time sex.
Oh, it looks intentional.
Maybe.
For old time sex.
Old time sex.
He put an extra D in old. I don't know what's going on there, but
I would be so bad at Heroes if I tried to play it right now. Oh my gosh.
It feels like riding a bike a little bit though, don't you think? Like you'd pick it right up and
I don't know. It's been so long since I played it that I don't know. I'm still at the stage where I'm like, surely I can't ride a bike anymore. So
I know people always say that, but then when's the last time they tried to ride a bike to see if they still know how?
You're like, wait a minute. I'm going to put a bar of metal between my crotch and just hop straight up.
Yeah, it seems intense.
And magically go. They say it's easy, but I'm going to try this. This seems bad.
You haven't ridden a bike in a while?
I haven't ridden a bike in a while. No.
Yeah, it's been a few years for me too, but I remember I was biking like right around the time I think we were starting the show. I was biking like trying to get some in every day, and I remember, but it would have been a while. You get it back into it. If you could do it before, you can get.
Are
back
you gonna to get it. Into it after the things warm up a little bit? You gonna ride again?
Oh hell yeah, for sure. I need to get moving of some kind. I need to get some kind of movement. This winter's kind of run me over hardcore. So I'm definitely looking. It's low impact.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't hurt your knees. It's kind of nice. The balance part sucks, and stationary bikes suck. You don't get to see the world around you, you know? It's just, so.
Like spin class? Let me tell you my idea of a nightmare. Spin class. F that.
I mean, maybe if there's something fun going on while you're doing it, I could.
Somebody's
like, yo, let's spin around. Like,
but they're all lined up with bikes, and there's a lady up front going, all right, now we're going to do a hill. Give me everything you got. Then you just riding as fast as you can and then sweating all over each other. And it's a nightmare. I hate spin class.
Maybe some people like the shared. It's motivating to be around people, you know?
Yeah, probably.
I feel like they should just, you know, put on HBO or something and be like, come to spin class. We're watching Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah. No, there might that be accidents would get me when, to they, go. When they see the herpes penis. They'll want to be like, whoa, and there'll be accidents. They're like, how did you manage accidents on a stationary bike?
Yeah.
We showed the herpes penis. Oh, that'll get you.
That'll get you every time.
Flipped over the handlebars.
Yeah.
It's old herpes.
I don't know. It takes for this guy. Sorry, we're talking about herpes penis. And I don't know if that was in pre-show or not. So there might be no context for anyone listening. Just randomly talking about
penises. I don't remember when we brought that up, but.
But it takes some work to put that stuff together. I'm sure there's enough people in our community that'd still be into it that we could make a mini tournament. But it's hard. You know, we play games together. That's how this whole thing started. I feel like it's been a week since the last time we played anything together. So it's
which is not true.
Tough enough even getting together.
Yeah, it's really hard. But also, you know, if what he means is less of a tournament, more just us playing Heroes for a couple of hours, I'd love to do that. Been a while.
Yeah,
I could enjoy that. I want to see, and I'll bet John picks it right up. I'll bet he's not. I bet he hasn't lost a step. Is my guess.
Yeah, just play Jaina. Just play Artanis.
Two button Terry. Sylvanas.
Yeah, I could probably steal Artanis.
Some heroes have been updated.
Yeah,
there's lots of changes, so there's probably something new and exciting to check out. I mean, that's what I was playing it. You know, part of it, the fun was seeing the new stuff. You know,
sure. Yeah, it's been a while for me. I need to get in there. So thank you, Pernelius G. Keep on rapping, too. Keep rhyming. You're a great MC. All right, that's it for emails. TalkToTheCore@gmail.com. That's TalkToTheCore@gmail.com for your email messages that you send us. Couldn't think of what they were called. Please send us more because we love them. That's going to do it for the show, I believe. Now, a reminder, this entire enterprise brought to you by you. At patreon.com/coreshow. If you've never been there before, you're missing out. You get lots of benefits for doing this. And you also just get the really cool feeling of supporting your favorite video game show. So go check it out and see what's available to you as a member at patreon.com/coreshow. For everything else, we're at frogpants.com/core. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Give John a follow at John_Jagger. You can find me at Scott Johnson, Bo at Bo Schwartz. And keep your ears open for a new Chris Metzen interview going up probably on this feed, the Instance feed, a couple other feeds, Tuesday, as they get ready to launch their big product from their first big product from Warchief Gaming. You can get more details at warchiefgaming.com. But we had a rad conversation today that I can't wait for people to hear. And if you really like D&D and tabletop gaming, you are absolutely going to want to check that out. John's only going to hate one part of it, and it has to do with deserts. So tune in and find out more. About deserts. Spoiler alert. He feels like I do about desert settings, which is I love them, and so does he. So
I just hate sand. It's rough and coarse, and it gets everywhere.
Yeah, you're. Listen, Anakin.
I love you, John.
All right, that's going to do it for the show.
How to win the weight of my heart, making prequel.
That's right. References. Prequel references for the guy here who likes the prequels. Speaking of which, Bo, anything you want to say before we cut out?
Hello there.
Nice. Blueberries down. Or one. No, sorry. Jump. Bo one, blueberry zero. That's what I'd say, because he ate that whole bowl while we did the show. John, any final words of wisdom from a budding new father?
You know, PPTPs are highly recommended, but they don't really work the way you would expect them to.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't think I've really figured out how they work. They either seem too small or too big. So we're just kind of in a pray for no spray kind of method, and it's working out mostly okay.
Pray for no spray.
PPQT.
You put it over your wiener where the kid's getting changed so he doesn't pee all over you.
Not your wiener.
Which wiener?
The kid's wiener. Because girls and boys are different. Girls may pee while they're on the table, but they don't always have the trajectory that you're concerned with when it's a boy. The boy's got, you know, a full on.
Yeah. I think I peed in my dad's mouth once when I was. Here's a story.
Wow.
It goes in a random direction.
Yeah. So PPTP.
The idea is it's a little cloth that you put over the area while you're changing them to prevent pee from, you know, going someplace that you don't want it to go. But like, nothing's holding it up, and you're trying to change a baby, and babies wiggle, and you're moving them, and you're trying to wipe butts and stuff like that, and it falls off immediately.
It isn't like a cup or something. Like, why wouldn't you just strap like an air mask or even just like a COVID filter?
Yeah,
like,
that's not.
Wouldn't
hard.
That be more effective than whatever it is you're talking? I can't even visualize what you're talking about.
It would be more effective. Yes. No. The method we currently use is, oh shit, and then we just try to aim for something that isn't him or us.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, just get a hose, like,
well,
you know, and then have it into a bucket.
Yeah, no, that's not
for
weird
a boy
at all.
At least.
Yeah, that's not weird at all. Putting your kid's wiener in a hose and then aiming it at a bucket. It's not weird.
I mean, you're wiping his butt. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. What's a hose?
This is not about the wiener and the hose. It's about what's going on with the excrement. Like, you're managing the excrement. Yeah. If I learned anything from City Builders, the excrement's got
to
go somewhere.
It has to go somewhere, or you're all going to get sick in the middle of your town. That's all right. That's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. I'm really glad we had this last moment together. Join us next time for more right here on Core. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com. Hey.